We're going to start off in Romans chapter 8 and verse 14. If you have your Bibles, if you're following along with this, Romans chapter 8 and verse 14. We'll look at verses 14 and 15. It says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage," underline the word bondage or highlight the word bondage, "again, to fear," underline fear or highlight fear, "but you receive the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father." Now, in this series, we're going to take a look at what are the pathways? What are different things that are absolute that cause freedom to flow in our lives? You know, everyone has a desire to be free. Everyone has a sense of wanting to be free and flow in the things of God. And there are some things that we're going to look at to see to line up to make sure that happens. There are some things that we're gonna get out of the way. There are some things that will be exposed. But the biggest things at the end of this series, we are believing God with you that you walk in absolute freedom.
Amen.
Free financially, free Amen. Physically, whatever is going
That's
on,
awesome.
Emotionally, to be completely free in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
You know, being free starts with being led by the Holy Spirit. And that's why we're starting off. This subtitle is learning to be led. Because we're not going to be free if we're not listening to what the Holy Spirit is saying to do. So first and foremost, it starts with you and I being led by the Spirit. Choosing to be led secures our freedom. You know, choosing what God has for us will always be our responsibility. Notice in Romans 8, and I ask you to underline fear, notice that fear and bondage go hand in hand.
Right.
You see, we don't have the luxury of being afraid or being fear without it grabbing hold of us and causing us to be in bondage. You see, fear doesn't come just for the sake of coming.
Right.
Fear comes to put you in bondage. And the opposite of bondage is freedom. The opposite of fear is faith. Trusting God is connected. And this is what we have to do. This is what it comes down to. We have to trust God enough to know that He loves us enough to use His ability on our behalf. We have to get to the place where we understand God's true nature. We have to understand that God is love, God is good, God is for me. And if God is for me, who could be against me?
Right.
What weapon can possibly triumph over me if I'm God and He's mine? If I'm being in Him, trusting Him, knowing how much He loves me, secures my freedom. No matter how we think of God, no matter how powerful we know God is, if we don't settle it in our hearts that He loves me enough to use His ability for me, we're not receiving from God. That's critical. When we know how much He loves us, when we're convinced of His ability, we know that it's for us, then we can begin to see the light. Then we can begin to see, okay, freedom is inevitable because of who I'm with. Because I'm abiding in Him and He's abiding in me. Freedom is inevitable. If there's something that has attached itself to you, it can't stay because of who's in you. And that's what we're going to look at. You are a spirit, and the Holy Spirit will lead you and teach you how to run your family, how to be a good mom, how to be a good parent, how to run your business. You see, the job, the goal of the Holy Spirit is to instruct us, to place us, to pull us right into the center of God's will. This is the pathway to freedom, leaning toward Him. We're going to look at, let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 17. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 17. It says, "Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty." Another way we can say that, there is freedom. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. There is freedom. Now, let's go over to John chapter 16 and verse 13. Will you go next door and let them know that we're in service? That just can't work. John chapter 16 and verse 13. As you get there, John chapter 16 verse 13 says, "However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will speak on his own authority." He will not speak on his own authority. He's only going to say what the Father says. "But whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come." Think of it this way. Your leader in life is the Spirit of truth. The byproduct of truth is absolute freedom. It's not enough, family, for us to believe in the Holy Spirit. We have to allow him to lead us and guide us. We have to say to ourselves, "Not my will, right, your will," and absolutely surrender. What does it mean to be led by the Spirit of God?
So I think that that's such a big question of what it means to be led by the Spirit of God. What's so amazing is, you know, just like Pastor Freddie's saying, the truth and the freedom that we're able to walk in is available to us. And so understanding, when you know that you're able to walk in the freedom and the truth of having the Holy Spirit with you, it also allows you to know the role in which you play. And so, you know, since we're celebrating mothers, and one of the areas that, you know, I'm privileged to be is a mom and have a mom and all that good stuff. I want to talk just a few minutes about what it is to be a mom, to be a mother. You know, there are a lot of people that are mothers that haven't had children actually come out of their body. And being a mother means to care, to teach by wisdom, experience, insight, revelation. And you're so much more powerful when you've linked up with Jesus as the Lord of your life to allow the Holy Spirit to minister to you, right, to walk in that level of freedom.
Amen.
You know, I think that when I received my children in my body, and even those by marriage, I knew and I understood that those children were a gift to me,
right,
that they were not just my possessions, but they were actually gifts that were given to me in order for me to be a steward over. And being a steward, you're taking care of that thing, actually that person you're taking care of as a mom.
Right.
So what's so amazing about being a mom is that when you identify the role that you have and the privilege of being able to take care of others, it gives you a freedom that God can continue to direct your path and your choices. You know, with the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit inside of you, you do have that inner witness that allows you to minister life to others. You know, I have six children that are in my family, and what's so amazing about being a mom is not only do I have six children that I'm able to minister to and teach, but they also teach me when I have an opportunity to open myself to be able to learn. And it's the freedom that we have having the Holy Spirit that allows me to be able to step in that position of not only receiving, but also giving. So being a mom, being led by the Spirit of God, allows you to be that vessel to play your part in God's perfect plan. You know, in Jeremiah 29:11, it says that God has plans before us far above what we can even think or imagine. And because of those plans, there's all different parts to that plan that make it his will and design for our life. And so as a mom, I actually get the opportunity to play a part in that plan.
Right.
I get to speak to those things that are not in that plan. I get to identify and know with my time spent with God what the Holy Spirit wants to do in that plan. So I know by me being able to walk in the freedom of knowing the role that I play and understanding that the Spirit of God is there for me, the Spirit of God is there to teach me, to encourage me, to guide me, that I get to play a part of the reflection of the Holy Spirit in my children's life, to be their comforter, to be their guide, for them to be able to come to me and know that it's a safe place in order for them to continue to grow into the things of God. God is so amazing, and he's so amazing because he has this divine plan for all of us. But it's up to us to step into that freedom. And the more freedom we step in, the more liberty that we will have in order for us to be used by God. Mm-hmm. So being a mom, being Spirit-led, being filled with the Spirit, knowing that God wants to continue to use me to be able to do my part, allows me to be able to present my children, those that I care for, to this world to do God's perfect plan for him.
Amen.
Amen.
You know, isn't it interesting how much controversy that it comes over the Spirit-filled life? Isn't it interesting that there's so much division concerning the Spirit-filled life? There's so much division that takes place. You know, as believers, it makes sense for us to pay attention to the areas that the devil attacks the most.
Yes.
You know, because what's he going to attack? He's going to attack the things that give him the least advantage. He's going to attack things that will cause us to overcome over him. So it's important. And if you're watching right now and you're unsure about the Spirit-filled life, you know, we would love to spend some time and talk you through that. And I think you're going to learn something here today about the purpose. You know, what is the Spirit-filled life? Why do we need to live a life in the Spirit, and also how? So we'll go through those different things. So let's go to Romans chapter 8 and verse 16. Romans chapter 8 and verse 16, the pathway to freedom. If you have a desire to be free, tune in. You know, get your pen, get your paper, expect to get instructions of how you and I can walk in freedom. Romans 8:16 says the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. The Spirit himself bears witness with. I want you to listen to that language. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. The implication, the what you're hearing with is agreement. It's union. The Holy Spirit is in union with our spirit. You know, one of the most powerful things that the Holy Spirit does is if we're about to do something that is not God's perfect plan for our lives, the Holy Spirit will begin to tug on us. The Holy Spirit will begin to alert us. And I'm reminded of an instance when God told me to do something, and I knew he said to do it, but it was such a big deal. It was such a big step for me, and my nature, my old nature, I'm bold now. I grew up trying to please people because I'm a middle child. And it was such a big deal for me to make this step. So I didn't do it. I was like, you know, I hear you, Lord. I know what you're saying. But I just couldn't bring myself to do what he was telling me to do. Well, I missed it. And because of that, just my whole countenance, I got so just convicted, and it was such a powerful check in my spirit, I'll never forget it. So when I'm beginning to make a wrong decision, go a wrong way, that feeling, that's a similar feeling like that begins to come over me, and I'm reminded of, oh no, that, you know, that must not be God. The opposite of that is true too. And all of us have experienced this. All of us have done something that gives us complete fulfillment all over. Our whole being is elated. And that's when we know we've done what God said to do. It works both ways. And that's his order. He is a witness, and he's going to come alongside of us. He's going to be in agreement with us to do what God has called us to do. The Holy Spirit and my spirit will agree when I'm doing what's right. The Holy Spirit will disagree. See, here's the thing. The Holy Spirit's not leaving you, but you won't be happy in disobedience. And right. There'll be a disagreement. There'll be a rubbing of the wrong way. What does a witness do? Let's talk about that for a second. The Holy Spirit is a witness, and we saw that in Romans 8:16. What does a witness do? A witness testifies of what they've seen. A witness will bring light to evidence. See, a witness, a good witness stabilizes your case. A good witness causes the confirmation of the evidence. The Holy Spirit is the best witness we could possibly have. Amen. The Holy Spirit brings confirmation. The Holy witness demonstrates evidence, a knowing down in my spirit. Your answer, here's the thing, family, get this. Your answer is inward.
Amen.
The solution is on the inside of you. Now, let me clarify that. If you said yes to Jesus, the answer is on the inside of you. If you have not yet said yes to Jesus and received your forgiveness, let us know. We would love the opportunity to lead you to the Lord. If you don't have agreement, if you don't have peace, and all of us have experienced this, all of us at some point says, man, I knew I shouldn't have done that. You know, I had a feeling, you know, and now I know why. That's the Holy Spirit saying, no, go right. But we feel like doing something different, and that's why that happens. If you don't have agreement or peace, don't do it.
Right.
Allow peace to light up the path. Allow peace to keep you walking in line with the Holy Spirit. If you have to ask the question, is this right? That all by itself is a reason to wait.
That's right.
If that comes up. In life, we all have decisions to make. And some of those decisions are huge. You know, should I move? You know, should I buy this property? Should I marry this person?
That's right.
Should I get involved in this? Some of the decisions we have to make are huge. Doesn't it make sense to include the individual that was there at your birth, at your creation? Doesn't it make sense to get the counsel of the one who overheard the purpose of you being created? Doesn't it make sense to go to him to get the insight and the know-how? You know, I was talking to a person, I think it was last week, and I don't know if it's controversial. It's a subject. Let me just share. What if, I'm going to say it like this. What if you didn't have to, singles, what if you didn't have to depend on man-made algorithms to determine who you pair your life with? What if the inward witness, the Holy Spirit, was enough? What if you had a keen enough conversation? What if you were in tune with what he was saying to do or not to do? You know what would happen? You would never miss it. I like the statement. You and I have never made a spirit-led mistake.
That's good.
Every mistake we've ever made is when we've gone outside of the Spirit. The Lord did not leave us alone. He did not leave us to figure it out on our own. We can choose the Comforter. We can choose to be led. It doesn't make sense to exclude him. The reason why it's so important that you and I should be, we should have a desire to be led. You know, our subtitle again is learning to be led. We should want this because decisions determine direction. That makes sense?
Yeah, it does. It makes a lot of sense. And, you know, one of the things that when we start looking at why it's so important to be led, you know, it's important not to have what your imagination and what your emotions and what your feelings mean in those decisions, because those are all temporary. Those are all temporary things that when you make a decision outside of it being a spirit-led decision, It becomes a decision that's based in your mind. It's temporary. Right. And when you make lifelong decisions based on how you're feeling or what you think about a situation, then you're not always going to be in God's perfect will. And that's what our desire is as believers.
Amen.
We have a Father that we love, that we want to be pleasing to. And so it is important for us to make Spirit-led decisions so that we continue to stay in His protection, in His favor, and in His love, to continue to receive the level of love that He wants us to have in this life.
Amen.
You know, as a mom, and just really just kind of thinking about how I know that I've made a lot of decisions concerning my children and my family, you know, you make decisions every day for your children and for your family as a mom. It becomes a position or a role that you play that governs the whole onset of your family.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think you would agree with me that moms are always the center. You need a father, but moms a lot of times become
nurturing,
the center and the
yeah.
and the nucleus of that family because of the level of nurturing
sure.
and gifting and care that a mom actually has. I mean, we carry the children in within our body and we nurture and we feed them. And then as they're growing, we actually become the Holy Spirit in the children's lives. I'm not saying that we're the Holy Spirit, so let's be clear. We become a reflection of the Holy Spirit because we guide them and we care for them. You know, when you have a two-year-old running around, you know, you can help with that temperament and building that character. And even as your children go through school, you know, you'll be able to look at their behaviors and how they respond to certain things to be able to know and understand what needs to happen in order for them to have good success. And as our children, you know, get older and start being involved with other peers of their same age, those teenage years, you know, we continue to remind our children of the character that is inside of them and what's placed inside of them. And as they're adults and they look for life partners and they start entering into, you know, bigger relationships and even jobs and all these good things, there's a process as a mom that you continue to stand with that child. So when Pastor Freddie says that you're not alone, you're absolutely not alone here on this earth.
Amen.
But even more importantly, you're not alone as a believer because you have the Holy Spirit that partners with you in order to give you the direction and the guidance that you need. And so what's so powerful as a mom, as people of faith, is that we don't have to partner with ourselves. We partner with God to give us a direction that we need so the decisions become good decisions so that we have that good success. You know, I think of so many times when I was directing my children to do certain things because of what I knew was on the inside of them. And the reason why I knew what was on the inside of them was because of time spent with them, knowing and understanding that the Spirit of God that was inside of me was also inside of them. So as I began to learn them and learn their personalities and their characters, I began to see the God traits inside of them and what God wanted to use them for. It's an incredible experience to be a mom because you don't ever leave. You are always connected to that child. You're connected to your family. You're connected to the nucleus of what God wants you to do and use you
right.
as your part. So it's so important to be led and to know the why you do what you do so that you're not
Amen.
Making it up as you go along in your emotions and your feelings. I mean, we all have situations and circumstances, and I could just give you a whole list of different times that my children may have not made decisions that I would be in favor of. But it wasn't a decision that they couldn't recover from because of the Spirit of God that's inside of them. And so being that mother actually allows me to partner with the Holy Spirit in order to guide them into a better level of success. Being the mom allows me to be able to speak those things that they don't remember at 5 years old that I saw in them, that allows them to come into an adulthood and have the kind of success that God would want them to do because God ordained them to do that from the beginning. So it's important that as we continue to understand being led by the Spirit and
mm-hmm.
having the Holy Spirit empower us with His presence, with His insight, with us being able to go before the Father and ask the Holy Spirit to continue to give us, to bring things back to our remembrance, to continue to guide us and comfort us, that we know and understand that that's the why of anything of what we do is because we're led, because that's what God would have us
Amen.
To do and what He intended for us to have. I mean, I think of decisions that we've even made in our marriage and starting the church or in our careers, where if we had to make that decision by ourselves and our own emotions, I'm not sure where we would have been. But because we partnered up, with God and we ask the Holy Spirit to things bring things outside of us, the things that God originally planted right. in us when he created us, we ask to call out those things and have the Holy Spirit guide us and empower us and remind us and secure us and comfort us. That allows us to continue to make good decisions, which are good success that continue to give God glory here on the earth.
Amen. Your decisions pave the way of your path. You know, every decision builds on the other decision. You know, life is choice driven. And here's the thing, if we just acknowledge we need help, we'll be way better off.
True.
You know what humility is? You know, Lord, I don't got it all together.
Right.
I need help.
Amen.
And whenever we do that, we're open. It's so critical for all of us to be teachable.
That's
and
right.
we have the best teacher possible
Absolutely.
In the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
You have a helper to help you do you, on the inside of you who has witnessed everything that you need to succeed. You know, the Bible is full. Let's go to Acts chapter 8 and verse 29. The Bible is full of examples
yes.
of individuals who listened to the Holy Spirit and had success in their life. And if we stop and think for a second, all of us, we want to finish well. The bottom line is our heart's desire is to finish well. Let's go to 29 instead of 39. Acts chapter 8, verse 29. The Adam and Eve walked with God in the cool of the day. Noah got specific details to build something that had never been built before. Elisha. There are people upon people. David got the blueprint of how to build measurements, type of wood. Because our God doesn't change,
right.
we have to understand that he still wants to give us details. He still, think about it. Why would God want our lives to be a mystery? Why would he want us stubbing our toes and tripping
That's
over
right.
everything? He wants us to receive from him. He wants us to get insight and instructions. Acts chapter 8, verse 29 says, then the Spirit said to Philip, what I want you to see and understand is he said something to Philip. What he said was, go near and overtake this chariot. Philip got instructions from the Spirit of God to do something. Now let's flip over a couple of chapters in Acts chapter 10 and verse 19. We got four different examples I want us to take a look at. Acts chapter 10 and verse 19. While Peter thought about the vision, the Spirit said to him, behold, three men are seeking you. We want the Holy yeah. Spirit speaking
yes.
to us. We
Absolutely.
Want the Holy Spirit saying things to us mm-hmm. that are for our benefit.
That's right.
Anything that he's going to say is going to be for our protection, for our benefit, to advance us, to teach us how to get to God's will. Let's go over one more chapter, 11. Acts chapter 11, another example of God speaking to mm-hmm. people, the Spirit of God speaking to individuals in the Bible. And whenever you read the Bible, don't read the Bible like, oh, how cool it was for them.
Right, right.
You know, Peter's not better than you.
Mm-hmm.
Philip's not better than you.
That's right.
Desire, we have to settle. It is our birthright
That's
to
right.
hear his voice.
Amen.
It's our birthright to be led by the Spirit of God. Acts 11, 12 says, then the Spirit told me to go with them, doubting nothing. Moreover, these six brethren accompanied me, and we entered the man's house. Two more chapters over. Last scripture example, Acts chapter 13 and verse 2. What I want us to see is if it happened then,
That's right.
it can happen now.
That's right.
And it should happen now. It is right to hear from God. Acts 13:2 says, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, now separate me, Barabbas and Saul, for the work which I have called them. In the Bible, we see the Holy Spirit said something. Family, he is still saying something. He is still speaking to you and I. The Holy Spirit gave instructions when they took time out. They set time aside. After the Holy Spirit said, they didn't vote. They didn't go and get a council. Mm-hmm. And if you're stuck in any area, all you need is to hear from the Holy Spirit.
That's right.
And that makes you unstuck. If there's any doubt, all you need to do is hear from heaven, and that doubt dissipates.
That's right.
And that's what we're believing God that will happen as we go through this series.
That's right.
Proverbs chapter 3 verse 5 says, "Trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not on your own understanding." What if you don't understand? What if you don't have it figured out?
Right.
Trust in the Lord. What if you can't quite put a finger on? What if you can't quite make it all come out right? What if it's not adding up? Trust in the Lord. Don't lean on you. Don't limit you to your mind.
That's right.
Not when you have
good.
The Holy Spirit available. Not when you have the wisdom. Not when you have Spirit of Truth.
That's right.
Readily available. Don't limit your life to your own mind. Yes, we're supposed to use our minds. Don't get it twisted. I'm not saying that we're only looking to the Holy Spirit and not thinking. I'm not saying we're supposed to think.
Please.
But what I'm saying is, after you came up with the best understanding you can, you filter that through the Holy Spirit. Is this what I'm supposed to do? You allow the input from the Holy Spirit to be the deciding factor. You let that be what calls you to go left or go right. We're supposed to make decisions. We are never supposed to make decisions without counseling the Holy Spirit, without getting the Holy Spirit input. And that may not seem feasible. That may seem foreign to some people who are watching. Mm-hmm. I encourage you to start. I encourage you to say, "Hold on, let me check with my daddy," you know, before I make that decision.
Right.
You know, what if you didn't make decisions so hastily? What if you say, "You know what? I'm gonna ask the Holy Spirit what he thinks I should do." Tell you what, the mistakes we make would begin to go down drastically. Romans 8:16 again says, "The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit." I want you to get that word picture. Bears witness with our spirit, with a union, agreement. That's what we have available because God is just that good.
That's good. So one thing that I also want to make sure that when we talk about, we're giving you a plan or a formula of spending time with the Holy Spirit. And the number one thing that I think that a lot of times we do, I know I've done this, is that when I go to God asking for what do you want to do to partner with him, with his perfect plan for my life, a lot of times I don't spend the level of time or give it time in order for me to be able to get an understanding of what God would want to happen. I think we get a piece of the answer, and then we go and we run forward, and we do what we know to do based on, well, God told me this. But a lot of times it's spending time with our Father, Holy Spirit, to continue to ask us and talk to us and talk through a situation in order for us to get the right answer in the right time. So this is a relationship. This is a relationship that continues to develop and it continues to grow. The worst thing you could possibly do is get a one-word answer to what's going on and then expect that one word to carry you through the situation. You want to spend time with the Lord in order for you to be able to understand not only what he's saying, but what he's saying to you about what's going on. And the Holy Spirit is amazing for that. We actually all have the witness inside of us when we're going about our daily life, that inner witness, that gnawing, that feeling like I need to do this or something that's inside of me that I really love to do. That's all the Holy Spirit reminding you of the gifting that's on the inside of you. And we often don't take enough time to spend to get an understanding before we walk that thing out to say, this is what the Lord told me and this is what I'm going to do. Because in a relationship, if I were just to tell my husband one word, he asks me what's for dinner and I say bread, he doesn't have an understanding of what he's going to eat for dinner.
Lord, help all the husbands with understanding.
But when we have a conversation and we continue to develop that conversation, it continues to shed light on the plan of what's going to happen next. So don't use the Holy Spirit or use God as a genie, you know, that you're asking to get the answer and just tell me the answer right now. Have a relationship with the Lord that he becomes your partner. He becomes your daddy, and the Holy Spirit becomes your friend and your comforter and your guide, that you continue to walk that thing out so that you have an understanding, that it becomes you walking with God's plan rather than you just trying to find the bits and pieces of what God's plan is in order for you to do your part.
Amen. How do we do this? An application, how do we learn to be led by the Spirit of God? First and foremost, let's go to Romans chapter 8, verse 26 through 28. How do we do this? How do we go? What an awesome opportunity for you and I to not just learn how to be led, but to fine tune. You know, when we could, the reason why the Word of God says, let them who have ears to hear, hear, is because there's got to be something to it. When he says that, he wasn't talking to people who didn't have ears. Let them who have ears, there's a different kind of hearing that takes place.
There is, amen.
And the first thing we have to do is trust the Holy Spirit.
That's right.
We don't have to know everything because he does. Romans 8, 28, 26 says, likewise, the Spirit also helps our weaknesses. You know what that means? We're going to have weaknesses. We have weaknesses. There's going to be times when we feel a deficit within ourselves. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. There are times we're not going to have a good understanding of what or how to pray. But look at this. But the Spirit himself makes intercessions for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now, he who searches the hearts knows. He knows. God, that is so important for us to get to. The reason why it's important for us to yield to the Holy Spirit and allow him to pray through us, because even when we don't know, when we don't have a clue, he does. And that's what we want. We want to get to the point where we're allowing the Holy Spirit to light our path. Amen. We want him to, because that path is heading to freedom. It's absolute, total freedom. Right. Now, someone might say, well, no, I'm born again. I'm free right now. I'm not talking about our spirit man only.
Right.
I'm talking about our mental man. I'm talking about our physical man. And all you got to do is throw a rock in any direction. You'll hit somebody that has some emotional wounds, some physical wounds, people who are hurting and in need. I'm talking about you and I walking this earth as little Christ who have renewed our minds, who have got to the place where we're not doing anything. You know what? Jesus was so powerful. Jesus only did what his Father said.
That's right.
Can't we do that? Can't we get to the place where, and let me pray about that. You know, it looks good. It sounds good. Let me hear what he has to say about it. Number two, listen. Did I finish reading?
You did.
Number two, listen and obey the witness of the Holy Spirit. Quiet your mind, still your soul, and receive instructions. He is talking.
That's right.
He is always talking. The part that we have to play, our role, is settle down and listen. There are so many things after our attention. There are so many snippets, and there's so much information out there drawing us away from that still, small voice. Let's go to Psalms chapter 46 and 10. If you do 3 and 4.
Okay.
I forgot you.
Yeah, you did.
Psalms 46 verse 10 says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. 1 Kings 19:12 says, and after the earthquake, the fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. That's just a proof text to that statement I just made. Number three, we're talking about application. How do we do it? How are we led by the Holy Spirit?
So, and number three, you want to choose your head, your heart over your head. And in Proverbs 3:5, it says, trust in and rely confidently on the Lord with all of your heart, and do not rely on your own insight and understanding. What's so amazing is that time spent with God, you don't have to rely on yourself to know that that's the right answer. You know, you really can trust in the Lord in everything that you have. Right. And because you trust in him, it also yields the response that whatever he tells you, there's going to be a comfort level, there's a confidence that he will do what it is that he asks and what he says. I know in our own life, many years ago, we've actually been here at the church for 5 years and been in ministry over 20-some years. And I can admit and tell you that many years ago, I knew that my husband was called to have a church. I knew that he was called to have a church, and I knew not even all of the things that God wanted him to do, but I knew that that was a fact. And I also knew that I kind of pushed back that I didn't want to have my own church. And it wasn't just for my own reason. It was because of everything that was going to happen in that church. I knew and had a sense about myself, and the Holy Spirit ministered to me that it wasn't the time for him to be able to step out into all of what it meant about having a church. Our children are younger. There were different goals that we have for our family. Different things that the Holy Spirit administered to me that the children needed. And so I knew at that point in time it wasn't the right thing to do. That didn't deny the job or the position or role that he was in, but it was the wisdom that allowed me to walk that out so when the time came, he would be able to put everything that he had Amen. Into that position, because that's what was needing to happen in our life. And so just even by that little example, I didn't lean to my own understanding to understand what that meant, what that was going to do. I just was led by the Holy Spirit to do what the Holy Spirit was instructing me to do step by step. Because truly, if all of us knew the bigger picture of how God sees us and what God wants to do, we absolutely, in our human form, couldn't handle it. But if we take on step by step, listening to what the Holy Spirit has, partnering in with what God wants to do, and step in that plan, mm-hmm. you can step into that plan or step into that church and be able to put all of what it is that God has for you in that to deal with all of those things that are surrounding right now. All of those things that are surrounding us that come at us with the environment outside of there, but because we're steadfast in knowing what our role is, because we've partnered with the Holy Spirit to know what he says, it allows us to be an incredible force for God.
Amen.
Number four is be full of thanks.
Yep.
So in for that scripture, you want to go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18 and 19. And that says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. There is nothing more important to have a thankful, receptive, grateful heart. It is absolutely fundamental for you to make the room for the capacity for you to receive more in order for you to have that thankful, grateful heart. Right. God wants to do so much with you and for you. And you not having that thankful heart does not allow the Holy Spirit to have room enough to continue to develop you and all of what he wants to do. Thankfulness is number one that you want to have, not only in your spiritual life, but in your physical life, in your family life, all of that. I would actually commission to you that every single mom that I know is thankful. You're thankful for the opportunity to be a mom. You're thankful for your mom. And you're thankful for all of those little details that add up into creating this family or these people, these individuals that have more traits of God that you get to embrace each and every day.
Amen. Did you notice verse 19, where 1 Thessalonians 5:19, it says, do not quench the spirit. Now, I submit to you, not being thankful quenches the Holy Spirit. Have you ever seen that before? You know, we're not being thankful for the issue or the circumstance. We're being thankful that we're His, and we know that because we're His, we're gonna get through that. And not being thankful will quench the Spirit. You know, a perfect example of that. Have you ever been around somebody who is super negative and nothing is right? You're doubting Debbie and they're just dragging you down. You're thinking, dear God, isn't there something good about your life? That is very quenching. That is very like, I can't wait to get out of here, because that's the way I see that. I can have a colorful mind sometimes, but that's how I see that. What number are we on?
We are on number 5.
Number 5. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11. And this is a proof text to what 5 is. Let's say number 5 together. Ready, read.
Don't override the check in your spirit.
Now, easy to relate to that. So the times we say, oh, I knew I shouldn't have said that. Oh, I knew I shouldn't have done that. That knowing is what I'm talking about. That's the check in your spirit. That's the, you know, hold on, you know, don't go, you don't show up. And sometimes it can be life-saving. I'm reminded of a time when I didn't override the Holy Spirit, and because of it, I am living today. The individual who I would have been sitting right next to was murdered, and wow. I would have been right there with them, but there was there was something. Something told me. Now, we always call him the Holy Spirit something. You know, his name is Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was warning me and getting me to stay there, and I did, because of that, saved my life. I can go on and on about stories like that when I chose to listen to the Holy Spirit. Don't quench the Spirit, or don't smother the Holy Spirit. Don't quiet. Don't allow your thoughts, your feelings, your emotions to supersede what the Holy Spirit is saying. Because you remember, it's a still small voice. So it's easy for the outside influences to be louder than His voice. 1 Corinthians, you want to read it?
No, you read it. Go ahead.
Will you read it?
Yes. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God.
Isn't that good? Mm-hmm. The things of God, no one knows except the Spirit of God. And we have access to the Spirit of God.
We do.
God doesn't want us to be lost. He doesn't want us. He doesn't want everything to be a mystery. Things are a mystery to those who don't know God. When we know God, we can know of God. We can know the things of God. And that's just the proof text to that. Number 6 is receive truth. Mm-hmm. Receive truth. Our proof text to this application point is Mark 11, 24. It has to be received. It doesn't matter how much truth. It doesn't matter if I have a gift I'm giving Terrellyn. If I'm giving Terrellyn a Mother's Day gift,
amen.
What she has to, she still has to take it.
I will.
It doesn't, it's not a gift until it's given. So we have to receive. We have to be intentional about receiving truth. And Mark 11, 24 says, therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask, when you pray, believe that you receive them. You know that word, receive, literally means take in the Greek. And you will have them. Receiving is taking.
Right.
If you don't take what the gift is, you'll never possess it. So very true.
And the last one is speak truth. The mouth is the heart's instrument to implement. And the mouth is what the heart uses to get the job done. So I would say, not only for mothers, but for any and every person, when you embrace the Spirit of God, you embrace the truth of God.
Amen.
And in order for God to be able to have the influence, to have the dominion, to have the power of the relationship that you want with Him, you need to embrace that the mouth is what the heart uses to get the job done. We know this as mothers. And, you know, and I would just say to mothers today, as we honor the mothers here, you know, there may be some mothers out there that have felt that, you know what, you weren't the best mom. There may be some moms that have a whole list of things of what you would want to improve if you had an opportunity to do it again. And there may be some moms out there that, you know what, you write all the things that are good and you're good. Everything is well with your soul. I would say to you that right here, right now, today, that you have an opportunity to allow the truth of God to surrender to the truth of God in your life and be able to know that God redeems the time, that God is a God of love, that he accepts you where you are in order to allow you to be the best mom that you can because you're a mom in Jesus. Because you have a relationship with the Lord is the number one thing that you want your children, those that you steward over, to know and to have. Because that is the truth that will speak to volumes of anything that your children or those that you care for go through. It is more important for you to have that relationship with the Lord and the relationship, the commitment to God that filters over into your children and those that you care for them to have a legacy in the truth of what God wants to do in their life here on earth and their life in the ever after. I just want to commend you for all of what you've done, all of what you didn't think that you did do, because the influence of who you are is the legacy that continues to live on in your children to this day. And whether it's a legacy of truth or it's a legacy of something other than truth, know that God will redeem you, he will restore you, he will fix anything that's crooked to make it straight. And those of you that are empowered to want to do more, to give more to your children, you continue to search your relationship out with God to allow the filter of what you receive to overflow into the lives of your children. Doesn't matter how old your children are, doesn't matter how little they are, how strong they are, or any of the circumstances that they've dealt with in this life. You are a mother. You are called. You are approved. You have within inside of you all of what God wants to use to empower your children for more. And so we honor each and every mom. We honor each and every relationship. You know, I honor my mom who's in heaven and all of the wonderful things that she taught me by what she did and what she didn't do. I'm so, so grateful. And the thankfulness that we actually share and that we have and that I have in my heart allows me to continue to grow in God in order to seek his face, in order to know that as I put my children before him and thank him for allowing me to be a steward over my children, it empowers them to know that this is the first and final relationship that they need in their lives to have good success.
Amen. Before we pray, let's wrap it up with John chapter 6 and verse 63. Let's go there. John chapter 6 and verse 63. Now this is such a powerful insight of the last point, the last application point is speak truth. It's so valuable to understand what happens when a believer's say something. John chapter 6 and verse 63. It says, "It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life." When you understand the power of words, we understand that words are containers going somewhere to either birth life or death, because we could say words that actually destroy. When you say something, because words are spirit, we create a spiritual atmosphere whenever we speak. To understand that changes everything. You can walk into an atmosphere that's not right, and because of who's in you, because you're led by the Spirit, you could speak out words of truth, words of power, words of hope, words of faith, and you could change the atmosphere.
Amen.
Because that's what words do. Let's pray. You know, if you have never accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and you found yourself here on this YouTube channel or Facebook Live, what an awesome opportunity. If you want to receive your forgiveness and you want to receive Jesus in your heart, we can do that right now. And because I don't know who's watching, we're going to pray. And if you're out there and you've yet to pray this prayer, I want you to pray this with me. Say, Jesus.
Jesus.
I believe you died on the cross.
I believe you died on the cross.
For my sins.
For my sins.
I acknowledge that I am not perfect.
That I am not perfect.
I acknowledge that I am a sinner.
That I am a sinner.
And I am choosing to believe in my heart and speak with my mouth.
And speak with my mouth.
That Jesus, you are Lord.
You are Lord.
Come into my heart.
Come into my heart.
Save me.
Save me.
Redeem me.
Redeem me.
Deliver me.
Deliver me.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
You know, it's if you prayed that prayer for the first time, you know, welcome to the family of Jesus.
Amen.
Welcome to the body of Christ. And if that is you, we'd love to hear about it. For everyone else, especially the mothers, happy Mother's Day. God bless you. And, you know, thank you for coming and being with us and give us an opportunity to share in God's word together. God bless you. We love you. We'll see you soon.